If you have your Bibles, turn if you please to our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 15 and 16. We finish up our series, Images Everything, Jeremiah 31, verses 15 and 16. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. This is what the Lord says, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. Let's pray. Lord, so many of us sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon, have so many loved ones, Lord, who are lost in LGBTQ, so many loved ones, people we care about that are just prodigals that have wandered away. I pray you just show us this morning, Lord, how much you still love them, how much you still care about them. I want to draw them to yourself, and I pray you'd show us what we need to do to make that happen. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word, teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Dear Abby, my grandson just informed me that he would be happier living as a girl. So he's already legally changed his name, and he's even started wearing girls' clothes. And I want to show him love, but I'm having a hard time figuring out how to deal with it. I'm a born-again Christian, Abby, and I know from the Bible that being trans is wrong. And he's my only grandchild. And I love him unconditionally, but it breaks my heart to see what he's doing to himself. I'm so torn up about this because it seems like everything I love and believe is being turned upside down. Abby, how can I possibly deal with this? Signed, Grandpa in Pain. And sadly enough, what that guy is dealing with is exactly the same thing that Christians are dealing with all over America right now. And what do you do? What do you do when you know from the Bible that LGBTQ is wrong and people that you love and care about to the moon and back come out as gay and trans and it feels like your entire world is coming to an end? What do? The text we have in front of us this morning answers that question. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Image is Everything. Looking how people were created in the image of God and countering all the lies that the trans activists are claiming today. So far in this series, we've looked at what LGBTQ is really all about. Last week, we looked at what the church needs to do about it in society. And today, we finish this series by seeing what we individual Christians need to do about it right in our own families. And to see that, we turn today to Jeremiah 31 and verses 15 and 16. 721 B.C., the unthinkable happened when the people of the northern kingdom of Israel sinned against God and were defeated by the Assyrians and deported into the land of the enemy. And things seemed as hopeless as all get out. And however long ago, people that you love sinned against God with LGBTQ and were defeated by the devil and deported to the land of the enemy too. But just like there was still hope for the people of God, there is still hope in Jesus Christ for the people that you love too. Our text this morning, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 15 and 16, tells us three things that we need to do to reclaim those people that we love who are lost in LGBTQ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to reclaim those lost loved ones, we need to get real about the situation. And that's exactly what Jeremiah is telling us here in verse 15. Now, Israel here is pictured as Rachel, the mother of Joseph, whose two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were the two biggest tribes and the figureheads of the entire northern kingdom. And she's crying buckets here at a place called Ramah, where all the Israelites were processed before they were frog marched to exile in Assyria. And they are mourning and wailing because she says her children are no more, because she believes that the God's chosen people, the people that she loves, are lost and hopeless, lost and gone forever, with no future at all. As hopeless as a snowflake at a Trump rally. Which is exactly how we feel when people that we love come out as gay and trans. Because we know that it's wrong. And your relationship with those people is changed forever. And what do you do? What do when your Uncle Tommy thinks he's really Aunt Tammy? Do you even take your kids to the family reunion on July the 4th? Because What are you going to tell your kids when they ask you why their uncle's wearing a dress? What do you do? What do you do when your wife of 28 years comes out as a lesbian and makes you feel like your entire marriage has been nothing but a lie? Talk about feeling betrayed. And what do you do with your wedding pictures? I've sat with young people who are so depressed, they're ready to off themselves because their dads are trying to become women. And they tell me it would have been a lot easier if their fathers had actually died, because then they could have had a funeral and it would have been over with. But instead, the hurt and the shame just keeps going on and on and on. What do you do? And Lord, have mercy when it's one of your own kids who comes out as gay or trans. How could they do this to you? How could they do that to God? You raised them to know the Lord and they spit all over it. And your beautiful daughter, who looks exactly like you, now looks so butch you don't even recognize her. And all the dreams you have for your kids, walking your daughter down an aisle on her wedding day, your son having kids of his own, you can kiss all that goodbye. 3 John verse 4, parents have no greater joy than when their children are walking in the truth, and absolutely nothing rips their heart out more when they don't. And deep down inside, you are scared to death that your kids are going to go to hell. 2 weeks ago, 44-year-old Robin Marte, Amarillo, Texas, committed suicide when her 19-year-old daughter came out as a lesbian. Gee, must not have realized it was Pride Month. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Why wasn't she proud? Why didn't she just celebrate diversity? What was she, Christian nationalist or something? People, we got to get real about the situation. Christians, you've got to get real and stop blaming yourself. Because all sin is a choice. And nobody, and I mean nobody, causes anybody else to ultimately choose to be gay or trans. And parents, you need to hear this especially too. Because that happens to your kid, there's all kinds of legalistic Christians who will be more than happy to tell you what a horrible parent you were and everything that you did wrong. But let me ask you this morning, who said you did anything wrong? You are responsible before God to teach your kids the truth. You are not responsible for how your kids responded to it. That's what your kids are responsible for. You say, but Kevin, I wasn't a perfect parent. How many perfect parents in this room right now? I don't see any. If perfection was a requirement for parenting, nobody would have any kids. But Kevin, if only, listen, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. You want to go on a guilt trip, the devil will be more than happy to drive. You can feel sad, don't you dare feel guilty. And don't you dare obsess over that kid to the exclusion of everything else in your life, because that's idolatry. Because where in the Bible does it say you cut yourself off from every other relationship with your life, from the Lord, with your spouse, with other kids in your family, and get rid of everything good that God has given you, all the ministries called you to try to focus on that kid? That's not going to work anyway. That you can't do anyway. It doesn't. You want to sit on a pity pot, you got to flush once in a while. Get a life and get real. Because over 90% of Christian parents in America have at least one kid that walks away from the Lord. So join the club. You've got a prodigal too. Only yours happens to be LGBTQ. We've got to get real. We've got to get real about what causes LGBTQ. Francis Collins, the number one geneticist expert in the world, said this: there is not one single shred of scientific evidence that anybody is born either gay or trans. None. So sorry, Lady Gaga, people are not born that way. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Kevin, you're going to say the Bible says it's wrong and people aren't born. You got to know the Greek and the Hebrew. I do know the Greek and Hebrew. It's still wrong. Here's what causes people to choose to be LGBTQ: neglect, hurt, rejection, verbal, physical, or sexual abuse by a same-sex perpetrator, or the person just thinks there was neglect, hurt, rejection, pain, or abuse. Lack of bonding with same-sex or opposite-sex parents, exposure to gay or trans porn at an early age, peer pressure, social trends. I could go on and on. We know what causes this. Growing up in England, little Elton John, Reginald Dwight, had a dad who was a rugby player and hated and abused little Reggie because he wasn't athletic. He was artistic and played the piano like nobody's business. But because little Elton John was convinced by his father that he wasn't manly, he has spent the rest of his life trying to find that masculinity in gay relationships with other men. But I'll say it again. A lot of LGBTQ people who claimed that they were abused when they were growing up weren't really abused at all. Perception is not always right. Homosexuality is nothing but a choice. WNBA star Cheryl Swopes, who's been in lesbian relationships and also relationships with men, said this, "I wasn't born gay. Nobody is born gay. It's just a choice you make based on your feelings about the circumstances that you're in at the time." Amen. Pop culture in America today is all about LGBTQ. Pop singer Demi Lovato and others like her push it because they want to stay relevant and sell CDs. Our culture is pushing it on our kids. Fisher-Price now makes drag dolls for two-year-olds. And so many schools in America right now are totally dedicated to turning your kids into genderqueer unicorns. Folks, do we need to get real about the situation in our schools? Because all over America right now, woke progressive school board members believe with all their hearts that absolutely the worst thing that could ever happen to your children is you conservative Christian parents. Because you're stupid, hateful, racist, bigoted, homophobic, transphobic, domestic terrorists. So they will do everything they possibly can to go behind your back and brainwash your kids with all kinds of LGBTQ propaganda every chance they get without you knowing one single thing about it at all. Happened at Spreckles Junior High School in Spreckles, California, to a born-again Christian mom named Jessica Keenan and her 12-year-old daughter, Emma. Last year, teachers of that school hounded Emma into joining the Equality Club that met during lunchtime, actually a gay-straight alliance club, and they told Emma not to tell her mom because, quote-unquote, parents aren't safe. So starting in the seventh grade, she started going to the Equality Club where the teachers convinced her that she was trans. Next thing you know, mom's called to a meeting at the school. Emma, a teacher and a principal on one side of the table, mom on the other side of the table, Emma crying her eyes out because they had her same brainwashed. She didn't know up from down. They wouldn't even let mom sit next to her daughter. And they snapped at her and glared at her every time she referred to Emma as her because come to find out, they'd already changed their daughter's name. They'd already changed her daughter's pronouns. They were giving her boys' clothes to wear during school time and forcing her to use the unisex bathroom in the teacher's lounge. They even changed her name on her medical records. So Emma, who is very highly allergic, if she'd have had an incident, insurance wouldn't even have known who she was. And they did all that, without telling mom one single thing about it. Parents, how would you like to get slapped upside of the head with a situation like that right out of the blue? Folks, who in the world do these people think they are? Last December the 17th, Spreckles school board meeting, Jessica Keenan showed up loaded for bear. This is part of what she said to that board.
"I will stand here today and protect my child along with every other child who has not come forward yet. Do they have psychiatry degrees that I was unaware of? Because I didn't hire them. Okay, I did not hire them to sit there and nitpick my child's brain. You took away my ability to parent my child. Even before I had any knowledge. I didn't even get to show support. You asked for support, I didn't get a chance. You planted seeds, Miss Caldera, and Miss Baraki, Mr. Baraki, and you, Miss Pagarin. Your job was to educate my child in math, science, English, etc. Do your job and let me do mine."
Now, the reason I played that, did you hear that tone in that woman's voice?
Yeah.
You know why that mom is so freaked out about what they did to her daughter? Because she is scared to death that she's going to lose her daughter to the devil and the world. Just exactly like we are scared that we're going to lose our kids too and the people that we love. So Christian, just like that mom, we have got to get real about the situation that we are in. The devil and the world has declared all-out war against you, your marriage, and your kids. And right now we are in a knockdown, drag-out fight to the finish for the very heart and soul of your family, starting with your children. And the best thing we can do is get real, get down on our knees, get tight with God, and get the Lord to fight and to win those battles for us, because Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 7, God will defeat every enemy that rises up against us. The first thing we need to do to reclaim our loved ones from LGBTQ, we need to get real about the situation. We go on in this text, we see a second thing we need to do to reclaim those loved ones. We not only need to get real, we also need to give those people to God. And that's exactly what Jeremiah is telling us here in verses 15 and 16. Now, verse 15 here, that prophecy was partially fulfilled when King Herod used after-birth abortion to kill all the male babies around Bethlehem after Jesus was born. But remember, Jesus escaped to Egypt, and He lives and reigns and rules today. So what Jeremiah is telling us here is suck it up and turn off the tears, because as long as there's Jesus, there's hope. You turn those lost people over to Jesus Christ. And you don't do what too many brain-dead parents are doing today. 2 weeks ago, Fox News ran a feature about a Whittington family in California who have a girl that they are letting identify as a boy named Ryland. This is a part of that report.
Only walking down the street, you wouldn't think anything different.
14-year-old Ryland Whittington is a typical Southern California teenager. And the Whittingtons, along with Mom Hillary, Dad Jeff, and Sister Brinley, are a typical family. The only difference, though, in Ryland's eyes, is what this family can mean to the tens of thousands of kids under 18 who identify as transgender.
We put our story out there so people could see that, like, there's another family out there that is going through what we're going through, or there's another family who's proud of who they are.
Before Ryland could even speak, he managed to tell his parents that he is a boy.
I could just see it. It wasn't him trying to be a brat. It was, like, painful. It was truly painful for him to have to wear feminine clothing and for us constantly telling him that you're a girl.
Did you catch that? Before Ryland could even speak, she was already telling her parents that she was really a boy because she didn't like wearing girls' clothes. Are you kidding me? One-year-old babies with mush for brains don't even know what a boy and a girl is. Mom claims that Ryland came out as trans when she was 5 years old. Folks, I still know 5-year-olds that believe in the man in the moon and eat cat poop out of litter boxes. When I was 5 years old, I thought I was Batman. And I tied a towel around my neck for a cape, and I would start jumping off the hog house roof like I was flying. My mom cured my trans identity with the back of her hand. People, this is insanity. The mother, Hillary Whittington, already wrote a book about raising a transgender child when Ryland was only 6 years old. So you talk about loving the spotlight. This is what Hillary Whittington said. God created all of us the way He wanted us to be, and He created Ryland just the way he is. No, God didn't create that. The parents did. The parents are grooming their own kid. And I know somebody's here and needs to say, well, Kevin, what do you do when your little boy tells you he wants to be a little girl? How about telling him no? And if he really does have gender dysphoria, you take him to a Christian counselor to treat the underlying confusion and depression and anxiety to find out why he doesn't want to be a boy, instead of taking him to a butcher at a gender reassignment clinic who will chemically castrate him with hormones and cut off his family jewels. You say, Kevin, you don't let your kids transition, they're going to commit suicide. That's another lie the doctors tell you. DSM-5 says 98% of boys, over 90% of girls with true gender dysphoria goes away on its own by the time they get to be 16 or 17 years old. And here's another thing doctors purposely don't tell you. The suicidal thoughts and the suicide attempts actually increase after transition surgery. Because after the surgery, the kids find out it doesn't work. But in spite of all of that, it's cool today to have a kid who's transgender. Oh my goodness, that means you're really woke for sure. Actress Jamie Lee Curtis has a son who's pretending to be a girl right now. Actress Megan Fox purposely makes her little boy Noah wear dresses and refers to him as her, as a girl. One of the CEOs at Disney, Carrie Burke, has three daughters. She says one of them is trans, the other one is pansexual, which sounds like what? She has sex with pans? And how in the world does mother know that? The girl is 11 years old. Folks, if stupidity was criminal, mom would be serving a life sentence. What these parents are doing to these kids is child abuse. You take your children and you give them to the Lord. And you don't fall for the lies. Well, Kevin, nothing comes before my children. God is supposed to. But too many times He doesn't. You know why Christian author Jen Hatmaker says that gay marriage is a holy union blessed by God? Because she has a daughter named Sydney who's a lesbian who was married to another woman. Ariana Grande turned her back on God and the Catholic Church and what the Bible teaches about homosexuality being wrong because her brother Frankie identifies as a homosexual. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signs every radical trans rights bill he gets his hands on because his brother James Pritzker right now is pretending to be a woman named Jennifer. Explains a lot. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, well, Kevin, you're talking about people that I love. I've got people in my own family who identify as gay, Kevin. I've got people in my family who identify as gay, too. And I love them just as much as you love yours. It doesn't change the fact that it's wrong. And if you really did love them, you'll tell them that. Folks, LGBTQ is a fantasy world based on no facts, just feelings. And we Christians do not indulge that in any way, shape, or form, which means you do not go to your kid's gay wedding. Because you're attending a wedding implies that you're giving your blessing on that marriage, and you don't. You don't send a wedding gift. You don't send an anniversary card. You do not acknowledge that marriage in any way, shape, or form because it's not a marriage. It's fake marriage. Because Christians, we do not exist to help perpetuate lies. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. So young people in this church right now, if you ever go rogue and invite your parents to your same-sex wedding, I guarantee you, they will not be there. Because when it comes to choosing between you and Jesus Christ, that's a no-brainer. They're going to choose Him every time. Because you may be their child, He is their Lord and Savior. Game over. And Christians, we do not use those silly pronouns like zur and zim that sounds like Klingon. I will refer to you as the gender that you are, not as the gender that you think you are. You say, Kevin, that's transphobic. No, because transphobic is not one of my preferred adjectives. My preferred pronouns are none, as in don't refer to me at all about this. Don't talk to me at all about none of this stupid pronoun stuff. And I know there's some people here and they say, Kevin, my loved one doesn't want anything to do with me. You know why they don't want anything to do with you? Because you represent the truth to them. And you remind them of the truth that they're running from and trying to hide from. You take those loved ones and you give them to the Lord. You say, I love you no matter what. No matter what. But what you're doing is wrong. So they know where you stand. And then you go to God and you say, God, I cannot deal with this person. I am giving them to you so you can deal with them. You give them to God and you let them go. You let them go. And you need to realize giving them to God does not mean you abandon them. It doesn't mean you turn your back on them. It doesn't mean you forget about them. You can still do things together. You can try to find fun things to do together. You keep the lines of communication open. It's just a reminder to you, you are not the fourth person of the Trinity. And you cannot change that person. Only God can change that person. You give them to the Lord and you let them go. No matter what. No matter how many times you are tempted to pick them up and stress and obsess over them, you let them go. Even when they change their name. Even when you see your granddaughter is growing a beard. Even when you notice on Instagram your brother has fake breasts because he's in the process of transitioning. Even when your daughter sends you an invitation to her gay wedding shower. Even when your son and his fake husband adopt a baby and want to start calling you grandpa. You give them over and over and over and over again to God. Or you will never have that peace of God that passes all understanding that He wants you to have. So the next time the devil wakes you up at 3 a.m. to stress and strife over your gay loved one that's lost, you wake up, you give that person to the Lord and go back to sleep. Give it to God because He's going to be up all night anyway. You give them to the Lord. Because you can't change them, but God can. You can't get through to them, but God can. Because the problem is not between them and you. The problem is between them and God. And because God loves them and wants them to be restored and saved even more than you do. You turn them over to the Lord. But that also means you love them even when you don't feel like it. Ray and Elaine Dalton from Minneapolis, Minnesota were both born again Christians. And they were only able to have one child, and that was a son named Mark. They raised him in the church, led him to Christ when he was 9 years old. But then when Mark was 14, his freshman year in high school, Ray was killed in a crane accident. And Mark turned his back on God, the church, everything he learned in Sunday school, youth group, Awana, VBS, the whole nine yards, the whole kit and caboodle. Turned his back on God and started partying. And one night his senior year, Elaine Dalton just about died when she looked at his phone and didn't just see porn, she saw gay porn. Because come to find out, he had been seeing a 25-year-old man named Rick. So her son wasn't just into gay porn. He was in a relationship with a gay man. And when she confronted Mark about it, he stormed out of the house, went to live with his boyfriend. And Elaine Dalton was absolutely devastated. All those years raising him in the church, for what? And she was absolutely sick. And she couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. All she could do was cry and lay awake at night and think about all the disgusting things that Rick was doing to her son. And she hated that guy. He was the lowlife that turned his son gay. And she hated him with a purple, prickly pear passion. He was a predator. But over and over again, she just kept turning Mark and Rick over to the Lord. God, I can't do anything about this. You can't. I can't change it. You can't. Over and over again. Well, because her son Mark had left in a huff, didn't take any of his stuff with him, he had to keep coming back to his mom's house to get more and more of his things on the weekends. And when he was there, he wouldn't talk to his mom at all. He'd just bull right past her, arms full of electronic stuff and clothes, everything of his you can imagine. But every time Mark would come back to his mom's house, Rick would come with him and sit out in the car in front of the house smoking cigarettes because he figured that Elaine hated him like the devil himself, which she did. But then one Saturday, God spoke to Elaine's heart and said, invite Rick to come into the house. And Elaine said, I'm not having that animal in my house. He's already done enough damage to our family. God said, you love him because I loved you first. So even though she was throwing a fit inside, she walked outside and invited Rick to come into the house and have some coffee. And what do you know? He accepted. And as the weeks went by, Rick just kept going into the house on his own. He would sit at the table with Elaine and they'd have coffee together and talk about everything under the sun while Mark was loading the car. And Mark couldn't stand the fact that his boyfriend was talking to his mom. What was his mom trying to do? Well, then one Saturday, they're sitting at the kitchen table drinking coffee. Elaine points over to her piano in the living room and she asks, would Rick like her to play some songs? And he said, sure. So Elaine goes over, sits down in front of the piano, and starts playing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And what do you know? Rick had grown up in an old Baptist church and he remembered all of those hymns. So Mark and Rick would come to Elaine's house. She'd play the piano. Rick would sit on the bench next to her, singing for hours on end. Every time Mark was there, he'd give his mom the cold shoulder, the big freeze. His boyfriend was sitting there having a sing-along with her. And that went on for about 3 months. Till one Saturday, 2014, Elaine asked Rick, would he like to pray to receive Christ? And what do you know? He did. Prayed that sinner's prayer right along with Elaine. Then right after that, he broke up with Mark because he told him, God has changed my heart. I can't be in a homosexual relationship anymore. Then Mark was really ticked off at his mom because he took his boyfriend away. Not only that, she led him to Christ. But then 3 weeks later, Rick prayed with Mark and Mark prayed to rededicate his life to Christ. And Elaine Dalton was there the day that Rick Manziel walked an aisle and married a beautiful woman named Maria Ramirez in 2018. And Elaine Dalton was also there when her son Mark walked an aisle and married a beautiful woman named Elizabeth Goetz in 2019. Two gay men, totally saved, redeemed, changed, and transformed. today heterosexual husbands and fathers for the glory of God. And you know why that happened? Because that Christian mom decided to turn her son and the whole sorry mess over to God and love like God told her to. Christians, we want to reclaim our loved ones from LGBTQ. We need to turn them over to the Lord and love them and their partners with the love of Christ. Because we can't change them, but God can. We can't fix them, but God can. We can't reach them, but God can in ways we can't even imagine. The second thing that we need to do in order to reclaim lost loved ones, we need to give them to God. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to reclaim those loved ones. We not only need to get real about the situation, we not only need to give them to God, but third, we need to hope in God's promises. And that's exactly what Jeremiah is telling us here at the end of verse 16. And you know why? Because Rachel was wrong. God's chosen people were not as lost as dirt in a snowstorm. Because eventually, some of those Israelites and their descendants came back to Israel and even celebrated Passover in Jerusalem with King Hezekiah during the revival in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And why did that happen? Because all through the Old Testament, God promised that that's what would happen. Folks, we can hope in God because God will never forget His promises. He will never forget His people. And because of that, He'll never forget your people either. Verse 16, the Lord will bring them back from the land of the enemy. And Christians, we need to realize that and remember that because the world today tells us it's absolutely impossible. The LGBTQ magazine, The Advocate, says this, you can't pray the gay away. If a person is gay, there is no power in heaven or on earth that could ever change that or take it away. And I need to tell you this morning, that is an absolute lie straight from the pits of hell. Because gazillions of people have walked away from homosexuality for good. Amen. Julie Cypher, who was once married to pop singer Melissa Etheridge. Part of the first really famous gay couple in American history. She eventually turned to Jesus Christ, walked away from her, walked away from homosexuality for good. Hollywood producer Bryan Singer, who directed that movie X-Men, he was gay till he turned to Jesus Christ. Now he's married to his wife, Michelle Cooney. Gospel singer Donnie McClurkin was gay for 20 years because of sexual abuse he suffered growing up. 1998, he rededicated his life to Jesus Christ, totally set free from homosexuality. Since then, he's won 3 Grammy Awards, one of the top-selling gospel artists in the entire world. No power in heaven or earth can change somebody who is gay, but Jesus Christ can. People, we don't listen to the opinions of men. We listen to the promises of God. He will bring your people back from the land of the enemy. Laura Perry grew up with a legalistic Christian mom who liked boys more than girls. Then when Laura was only 8 years old, she got sexually molested and that made her want to be a girl even less. She started partying. Got used and abused so bad by all kinds of guys and felt so sleazy as a woman. When she got out of high school, she started taking testosterone and got all kinds of hormone injections and had a double mastectomy, had all of her female organs removed. Legally changed her gender, legally changed her name to Jake, and did the ultimate guy thing by marrying a woman. And for 9 years, she tried living as a man until one day the Spirit of God spoke to her heart and said, you are not Jake, you are Laura. And for the very first time in her life, she realized transgenderism was nothing but a lie. Meanwhile, her mom, Francine, got closer to the Lord than she had ever been before. And God changed her heart so much she started leading a Bible study at her church for women. And it was so popular, hundreds and hundreds of women were coming to this Bible study. And when the women asked Francine if she would put her Bible studies online so more people could take advantage, she called Laura because Laura was doing web design. But in order to summarize and post those Bible studies, Laura had to actually read the Bible studies along with the Bible verses in the Bible studies. And what do you know? The Holy Spirit started to change her heart. Till that day, she called her mom and said she wanted to recommit her life to Jesus Christ and become a woman again. So today, Laura Perry reversed as much of those surgery as she possibly could. She's engaged to be married to a wonderful Christian man, and she's one of the directors of First Stone Ministries, Oklahoma City, that helps LGBTQ people find freedom in Jesus Christ. And you know why that happened? A picture you see on the screen there is Laura Perry with her mom and those crazy Bible study ladies who prayed for that girl every single day for 9 solid years that she would be saved. This is what Laura Perry said. It's a lie of the devil that you're really transgender. And it's also a lie of the devil that you can't go back and detransition or be saved out of that delusion. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for me. I was messed up mentally and physically and spiritually. But when I came to myself and turned to Christ, God redeemed me and gave me a brand new start and a brand new life. And the only reason it happened is because I had parents, and a mom especially, and a bunch of loving, dedicated Christian women who never, ever, ever quit praying for me. People, that's the power of prayer! We all know about LGBTQ Pride Month. I want to know, when is ex-LGBTQ Pride Month? Where's all the flags and the parades and the family-friendly festivals for that? Well, cue the crickets. Because the left doesn't want you to know those people even exist at all. But they do. And you know why? Jeremiah 31 verse 16. Because the Lord will bring your loved ones back from the land of the enemy. So Christians, we hope in those promises of God. Which means we go to war. And not with your loved ones, but with the devil. Because your loved ones are not the devil. They're just deceived by the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. You don't think this is a spiritual battle? Because notice, when did this whole LGBTQ thing really start exploding? Now, people have chosen to be gay and trans for a long time. But when did the LGBTQ movement really start exploding in America? During the last 2 years. And what else was going on in America during the last 2 years? The great Marxist reset to destroy families and destroy this country. All starting with the plandemic and the lockdown that shut people up in their houses with the internet and social media. And what is the number one thing that the devil uses to brainwash people with LGBTQ propaganda? It's the internet and it's social media. Our kids were on the internet for at least 8 hours a day just for school alone. Then the stolen election and the Biden administration that has the most radical LGBTQ agenda in the history of this country, creating laws to force it down people's throats. You don't think this thing was coordinated from the start? And what's the result? 23% of the incoming freshmen this year at Yale University identify as LGBTQ. That's almost 1 out of 4. Mission accomplished. So Christians, we go to war and we pray for those lost loved ones and we keep claiming the promises of God like Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 that He who began a good work in them will be faithful to complete it because God doesn't start anything that He doesn't finish. Angel Colon and Juan Ruiz were two of the hundreds of people that were wounded when a Muslim terrorist shot up the gay Pulse nightclub and killed 49 people in Orlando, Florida back in 2016. Angel Colon and Juan Ruiz were both gay. In fact, Angel Colon was one of the drag dancers, the drag performers in that club. But 18 months later, after that shooting, both of those men got radically saved by Jesus Christ, and today they are leading ex-gay freedom marches in cities all across America. This is what Angel Colon said. What brought us to the Lord and saved us, we had so many Christians in our families standing in the gap and standing up to the devil and claiming all the promises of God and just standing on those promises that one day we'd eventually be saved. And Christians, we're going to do exactly the same thing. So believers, we serve notice today on every power, every principality, every devil, every demon in hell, that our lost people are going to be saved because they don't belong to the devil, they belong to God. And they're not going to stay blind because Jesus is going to open their eyes. And the devil is not going to damn them because Jesus is going to save them. And how do we know that? Because He's promised, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16, He will bring our loved ones back from the land of the enemy. And Romans chapter 10, verse 11, he who trusts in the Lord will never be disappointed. So today, we are trusting, we are hoping, we are claiming, we are believing, we are standing on the promises of God for the salvation of our loved ones. Just like they did. Abby, could you stand up? Everybody, this is Abby Peterson, married name is Abby Leck. About 30 years ago, when Abby's bio mom was pregnant with her, she got cancer. And the doctors told bio mom, you've got to get an abortion and you have to start chemo in order to save your life. But bio mom refused to get an abortion and she refused to get chemo because she knew it would hurt the baby. So bio mom gave birth to Abby and then died shortly after. So let me ask you this morning, how would you like to start out life carrying that kind of a burden? So Abby grew up mad at God for not having a mom. Now David remarried to Lori. Lori has been a wonderful blessing. They raised that girl in a Christian home. They taught her the things of God. They got her to pray to receive Christ. She knew Jesus as her Lord and Savior. But Abby was still mad and ticked off, stuffing all of her feelings. And she was the ice queen because she never, ever, ever let herself cry. Then long about 2010, 2011, she made a conscious decision to rebel and walk away from God. And everything that she knew was right. And did everything that that involves. It's wrong. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. And Abby's not ashamed to admit that, because that's all a part of what God was using in her life. Sometimes in order to appreciate how saved you really are, you've got to remember how lost you really were. And she started dating some guys. Followed one of them to Northern Illinois University. We're at a party there one night. She met a guy who was really messed up, a cokehead. And oh my goodness, she decided she was going to save him. So for the next 2.5 years, she was controlled. She was manipulated. She was used and abused. 6 ways from Sunday, the whole 9 yards, all that anger she had growing up, that's how it was playing out. She was running away from God at 1,000 miles an hour and trashing everything good that God had given her in her life. You talk about a loved one being lost and living in the land of the enemy. Well, let me tell you something. David and Lori Peterson were not about to let their daughter go up in flames and go to hell. So they warned her. And they tried to reason with her. And they tried to talk to her. When that didn't work, they realized that was an attack of the devil trying to destroy their daughter. So that husband and wife you see sitting right there, they strapped it on and they went to war and they started praying. And I'm not talking now I lay me down to sleep praying. I'm talking about down in the dirt, gravel in your gut, spitting the devil's eye praying, quoting the Bible praying, praying through the Bible praying, praying in the Spirit praying, because they believed with all their heart if God saved their daughter once, He could save her again. So they prayed. Like nobody's business. They prayed over the house. Even if Abby was there or not, they prayed over her room. They prayed over her stuff. They would stand on the first story of their house, right underneath where Abby's bedroom was on the second floor, and they would pray and read Scripture through the floor, calling the glory down, crying out to God that He would take a hold of their daughter's heart and draw her back to Himself. And even when it still looked bad, they kept praying. Even when they didn't see any changes, they kept praying. When it got harder, they just prayed harder. People, that couple knows exactly what it's like to go toe-to-toe with the devil himself and fight like hell for the heart and soul of the most precious thing that God had ever given them in the whole wide world, and that was their daughter. You say, well, Kevin, how long did they have to pray like that? As long as it took. Because they weren't just praying that God might bring their daughter back. They were praying until God did bring their daughter back. You say, well, Kevin, what's the result of all of those prayers? Did they work? You tell me. This is a part of Abby's testimony. I chose to walk away from God, but He came in and swept me up at my lowest point and answered all the prayers and started moving mountains in my life until I finally recommitted myself to Him, and I've never looked back. Folks, that husband and wife right there can pray hair on a bowling ball. What was the result of mom and dad's prayers? They got their daughter back. And she got her life back. and she rededicated her life to Christ. 2017, she got baptized in the Fox River. She's got a heart for God. She's on fire for God. She is a fearless pro-life activist. October 2017, she married the man of her dreams. They do all kinds of ministry inside and outside of this church. That woman there is living, breathing proof that God can do anything, absolutely anything, through prayer.
Amen.
They prayed for their loved one. Now we're going to pray for ours. We're going to do two things as we close today. First of all, I want to pray especially for parents and kids. I know a lot of the kids are in the children's church. We're going to pray for parents. Because mom and dad, husband and wife, you are under attack right now to who wouldn't have it. And it is clear. There's no beating around the bush anymore. You are being attacked by evil itself in this country. In institutional positions even. We're going to pray for you. You say, well, Kevin, my kids are okay today. Okay, what about tomorrow? What about when they go to high school? What about when they go to college? Because Jesus said, Luke 17:1, temptations will come. And the attack is just going to be even worse. So moms and dads, if you're here, would you just situate yourself? If your kids are next to you, would you just reach over and lay hands on them? Right where they're sitting. If you're here today with your grandchildren, you can do that with your grandkids. If for whatever reason your kids or grandkids are not here, you can do that in the quietness of your own heart. And if you're here today and a prayer warrior and you don't have somebody to pray for, could you walk over and lay hands on a mom or a dad, a husband or a wife and their kids so that everybody here is covered? We're going to stand in the gap for these families today and we're going to pray. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for the God that you are. And right now we cry out to you. We stand in the gap for them. And just ask and pray, Lord, that you would just shield these families, these marriages, these husbands and wives. We pray that you would just knit these husbands and wives together in a relationship, Lord, that closer than they've ever known it before. Lord, they have to be together. They have to be united. They have to be on the same page. God, I pray that you just preserve these marriages. They would recommit themselves to each other as husbands and wives. I pray, Lord, that you would just turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. That children would have a brand new appreciation for their parents. Lord, that they would love and respect them. I pray, Lord, that spiritually these moms and dads would be able to take their children by the hand and lead them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, that their homes, Lord, would just be a refuge. I just pray, Lord, for truth. I pray for peace. I pray for protection over their homes, for these families. God, we pray that you would use them in ministry, but we ask, Lord, that we would not lose one. Not one child in this church would be lost to the world or lost to the devil. Lord, we cry out to you and we trust, Lord, that you're going to protect. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.